As we read God's word today is Matthew chapter 6, and I believe we come to verse 13 today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. This is the reading of God's word. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word, that you would bless the person who is preaching, that he may bring your word correctly to your people, that you may bless the people, your people, who are hearing of your word. And as you have promised through your word, as we hear your word, let our faith grow, and that we'll be sanctified more and more, and be free, free from sin and this world. Oh Father, we pray that even this time, as we hear your word, that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, we'll finish this section that we've been looking at for many weeks now, the Lord's Prayer. And we'll start from verse 19, because we already have looked at verse 14 through 18 as we were looking at the previous verses. So we'll start verse 19 next Lord's Day. And today let us finish this Lord's Prayer. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My Bible, NASB, has the second half of this verse. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In brackets. It means that the most reliable earlier manuscripts do not have this. Thus, we cannot say for certain that it was a part of the original manuscript that Matthew actually wrote. But as you are able to see yourself, that the content and the teaching of it do not contradict the teachings of the Bible. Thus, to you and to me, it does not introduce a big problem. NASB, like mine, has it in brackets, and NIV has this in a footnote. So they completely took it out from the main text. And do not lead us into temptation. The Greek word that has been translated as temptation actually has many meanings. It could be translated as temptation, but also as test or trial. Only the context can tell us how it should be translated. Just like English word. Many English words have many meanings. Many Greek words have many meanings also. If we go to James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, this is what we read. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. So here, God does not, it says God does not tempt anyone. But Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2 says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Genesis chapter 22 verse 1a says, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. So, God does not tempt, but God does test. Being tested by God is actually a good thing. It is a blessing from God. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 and verse 12 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials that were trials. The same word in Matthew 6, verse 13. So consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Again, that word, the same word in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So testing by God is actually a good thing. And here, I need you to see this. The same event is a test and a temptation at the same time. God, through that event, tests us while Satan tempts us to sin. God, through it, causes us to grow in faith, but God also allows Satan to tempt us at the same time. We are to be faithful to God to the end, even with Satan's temptation. Satan's purpose in tempting us is to make us sin against God. And this is how it was from the very beginning. God commanded Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was definitely God's test. And Adam and Eve were to be faithful to God and obey God. But that was exactly when Satan also came and tempted them. If Adam and Eve obeyed God, then eternal blessings were given to them. But if Adam and Eve fall into the temptation of Satan and eat of that fruit, then the judgment of God for them. And as you know, they sinned. And sin brought forth death. Now you and I, we have already learned that temptations come in three areas. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Adam and Eve fell into temptation in all these three areas. When we read Genesis chapter 3 verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, and that it was a delight to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, boastful, pride of life, what the fruit will make them to be and to do. So it's when woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And all fell in sin. And all have become people who cannot resist Satan's temptation anymore. All have become people who will always fall into temptation. The contents of the temptation of Satan always are the sinful desires of sinners. And this is the result of sin. And if we read Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. These sinners cannot and will not pray to God, lead us not into temptation. Sinners apart from Christ will always fall into temptation. Thus, first, as you pray, lead us not into temptation, realize what kind of blessing of heaven you already possess in Jesus Christ. Even as Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, he proclaims the gospel. Realize, brothers and sisters, what has happened to you already in Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus Christ and the salvation that he accomplished, praying, lead us not into temptation, is nonsense. Because sinners will always fall into temptation. Sinners cannot do otherwise. So Jesus, as he teaches us to pray this, is proclaiming the gospel, what he has already accomplished, so that now we are able to pray this and that God will actually answer it. There is no way for sinners apart from Christ not to fall into temptation. God will not and even cannot fulfill this prayer apart from Jesus Christ and the salvation that he accomplished. Just the fact that we are able to pray this tells us that Jesus Christ has already accomplished our heavenly reality, in which we do not have to fall into temptation and fall into sin and fall into eternal death any longer. Deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one, depends on which translation you have. Without Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished, no one can be delivered from evil or the evil one. Again, apart from Jesus Christ, this prayer is nonsense. But God is teaching us to pray this way. What is he saying? something has happened. Well, you know what happened. Now, we pray and we have certainty that God will answer this prayer. Well, actually, He has already answered in Jesus Christ. So just like all the other petitions in this Lord's Prayer, as we saw already, this petition is also a petition that seeks our Lord Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished, you and I will not ultimately fall into temptation and will ultimately be delivered from evil. Only Jesus Christ has endured perfectly and obeyed perfectly God's test and God's will. Only Jesus Christ has triumphed perfectly over all the temptation of Satan. And He did that for us. He did all that in our places. We have already seen how Jesus has triumphed over all the temptation of Satan in chapter 4. Command that these stones become bread. It was lust of the flesh. Throw yourself down, you will not be hurt. Boasting of what one is able to do. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Satan showed the glory of this world, the lusts of the eyes. But unlike the first Adam, our second Adam, Jesus Christ, triumphs perfectly. Jesus endures perfectly God's test, and Jesus triumphs over Satan's temptation perfectly. And brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, this Jesus is now with us, and He is for us. He is with us, and He helps us. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read a few verses from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For since He Himself was tempted in that which He has suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Chapter 7, verse 24. But Jesus, on the other hand, because He continues forever, holds His priesthood permanently. Therefore, He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is able to save all those who draw near to God. And He prays for His people forever and ever. Jesus delivers us from evil, or the evil one, from all evil, including Satan. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9a says, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, We know that no one who is God keeps him. We know that no one who is born of God sins, meaning sins continually without end. But he who was born of God keeps him. God keeps his people, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. In other words, let us not fall into temptation and sin. And it is so easy for you and for me to fall into temptation and sin. Thus, brothers and sisters, realize how desperately and how urgently we must pray this prayer. Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 21 says, "So I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent." As we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," we witness that God's promise that we see in Jeremiah chapter 15 and all over the Old Testament is fulfilled and accomplished. Yes, God has delivered you from evil. It is our present spiritual reality. According to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, we are who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The evil one cannot even touch us, Bible says. We have already been delivered from evil. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 13, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son." Galatians chapter 1 verse 4b, "So that he might rescue us from this present evil age." And Jesus Christ himself, like we saw before, is praying for us. Let us go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 verse 15. And you know the John chapter 17 is about Jesus' prayer as a high priest for us. And this is what he prays, verse 15. "I do not ask you, the Father, to take them," take you and me, "out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Jesus prays that God will keep us from the evil one. John chapter 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." So you have this picture of double protection, that you have already been delivered from the evil or the evil one, and now God holds you. The Father holds you, and Jesus holds you, and there's no one who could snatch you out of their hands. Romans chapter 8. Verse 37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Brothers and sisters, remember, his grace is always sufficient for you. One more verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. So remember, we all go through this. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So whenever you face temptation, greater the temptation, I command you to be happy. Because it says that God will not tempt you beyond what you are able. So according to God's judgment, that great temptation that comes to you, it means he counts you as very strong Christian. You have grown, and you should rejoice. But always remember, when you're tempted, God will always provide a way of escape, a way out. Brothers and sisters, you do not have to sin. There's always a way out. Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept the words of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now this here is talking about the judgment of God. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. We are asking God that we will be kept from that hour of testing, the judgment of God over the whole earth, the Antichrist crisis that we're looking at the afternoon Bible study. We're also praying for that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As we pray this, we pray for the complete and perfect consummation of heaven. Yes, even this prayer, even this petition, you are praying for the consummation of heaven. Because only in heaven there will be no temptation whatsoever. And only in heaven there will be no evil. We are perfectly delivered from evil unto heaven. Thus, this prayer is again a prayer that seeks Christ and His kingdom. Just like every other petitions in the Lord's Prayer that you and I have seen already. So what are we praying for? We are praying for Christ. And we are praying for heaven. Brothers and sisters, I want you to really remember this. And really ask yourself the contents of your prayers every day. Compare them with the Lord's Prayer. And if you are not seeking Christ and His kingdom, then the Lord's Prayer is not for you. You should never pray Lord's Prayer if that is not what you're seeking, because without that desire for Jesus Christ and heaven, then you're just doing the lip service every Lord's Day when we recite the Lord's Prayer. But you and I have seen amazing grace even as we study this Lord's Prayer, because as we pray, we realize what has already happened to us, what Christ has already accomplished for us. That is why we could pray with certainty. He already answered. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is a proper response of a citizen of heaven who understands what he is praying through the Lord's Prayer. Even as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we understand what our Lord has already accomplished for us. Thus, we give all the glory to God and to Him alone. This is the proper response, the proper way to end our prayer to God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Thine is the dominion, O Lord, and Thou dost exalt Thyself as head over all. Psalm 47 verse 2, For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. Psalm 47 verse 6, Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Psalm 145 verse 10 through 13, All Thy works shall give thanks to Thee, O Lord, and Thy godly ones shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power to make known to the sons of men Thy mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of Thy kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and Thy dominion endures throughout all generations. Psalm 41 verse 13, Blessed be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Psalm 72 verse 19, And blessed be His glorious name forever. And may the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Psalm 106 verse 48, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen, praise the Lord. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation 7 verse 12 saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have taught us to how to pray. And even as we pray the prayer that you taught us, we understand from your word what you have already accomplished for us. Oh Father, your name is already hallowed in Christ. Your kingdom has already come in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, you already gives us daily bread. And in Jesus Christ, you already have forgiven us our sins as we forgive our debtors in Jesus Christ. And you already in Jesus Christ have delivered us from evil. We thank you that even as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we have absolute certainty that you will answer them because you already have answered them in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we're able to pray according to your will. For we see that those things we pray in the Lord's Prayer are your will. Your word shows it. Oh Father, we thank you for this glorious life. That even when we pray, we're able to bring glory and honor to you. Oh Father, we seek Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We thank you for your blessings in Jesus Christ. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.